put a snake on my back. I keep a red bone on my side.
Good morning and welcome to Road Warrior Radio. You're tuned in live this Friday, June 19th, 2020 on the one and only Republic Broadcasting Network. And as always, thanks for coming along for the ride. And the old Chinese proverb, may you live in interesting times, is in full effect. These times, I don't know about you, but these times are far too interesting for me. I'm ready for this ride to stop. It's beyond Orwellian, I think, and very strange. I just read this morning, is this true? I haven't had a chance to vet it yet, but the Texas MLS, has changed the term master, as in master bathroom, master bedroom, to primary, because master would just be too racist, apparently. Among the other bizarre and Orwellian things that we're seeing, I haven't had a chance to vet this yet, but I wouldn't be surprised, unfortunately, if that were true. I have seen other things. There was the article, for example, yesterday, NBC News, SEC to Mississippi change Confederate themed flag or risk losing college sports events. So this was an NBC News story. The NCAA Southeastern Conference commissioner warned that Mississippi could lose SEC championship games if it doesn't alter the state flag. And so from the story, the NCAA's Southeastern Conference on Thursday told the state of Mississippi it could miss out on SEC championship games if it doesn't change its state flag, which includes a Confederate symbol. You know, we've talked about this flag in the past. When this came up a few years ago, we talked about the fact that it's not what it's portrayed to be, first of all, and second of all, more importantly, I suppose, it was never a symbol of racism. It was always, more accurately, a symbol of rebellion to tyranny, which I think we can all sort of relate to these days. So no wonder it's being attacked. Anyway, I'll leave that story. So SEC Commissioner Greg Sankey said in a statement, it is, quote, it is past time for change to be made to the Mississippi state, or to the flag of the state of Mississippi. So now suddenly, and continuing the quote, our students deserve an opportunity to learn and compete in environments that are inclusive and welcoming to all. I suppose maybe Commissioner Sankey wants to issue participation trophies as well. Who knows? Inclusive and welcoming to all, he said. You know, and who knows how far this could go. I mean, I don't want to tread on any sacred taboos or anything, but who knows? I mean, first of all, I think it's ridiculous because there are no SEC events at all right now. Are there? Did I miss something? I think it's interesting watching some of these events, thinking of Marshall McLuhan saying that, you know, professional sports needs an audience because it, without the audience, it's just practice. So the medium is the message kind of thing. But, you know, these events that aren't happening right now anyway, and if they happen, you know, with fewer than 50 or 100 people without some kind of immunity passport or vaccine certificate is utterly absurd. You know, it's practice. So there are no events right now. And this mindless nonsense is beyond ridiculous. I mean, it's beyond words how absurd this all is. So the schools are being held hostage. And, you know, you think even if these things could return, how ridiculous it could become inclusive and welcoming to all, because, you know, I mean, the whole thing is just, it's beyond ridiculous. I mean, we could, it's layers upon layers upon layers of ridiculousness. You know, whether we go back to the term bred in circuses coined by Juvenal in first century Rome, or, you know, we come forward to all of the additional layers of ridiculousness on top of this kind of nonsense. But to address the issue of inclusive and welcoming to all, what's happening, you know, why can't people decide for themselves if they want to show up? If they want to show up in an event, this I still don't understand. It's kind of like vaccines. Vaccines are fantastic and everyone should get them, because once you have one, you're protected against the whatever it is you're being vaccinated against. At least that's the way the story goes. So then why does everyone else besides the person vaccinated have to be vaccinated for it to work? I don't understand how that works. The logic immediately breaks down. If you're protected, if you have a life jacket on, why does everyone else in the boat have to wear a life jacket for your life jacket to work? Apparently, the life jacket doesn't work very well. And like Del Bigtree has pointed out, if one in 10,000 people has some kind of is autoimmune deficient or somehow compromised or whatever, why can't GlaxoSmithKline make a product for that person? Why can't Sanofi make a product specifically to help that person rather than the other 9,999 people that are not immune deficient or compromised? And as he pointed out, you know, A, there's no, you know, there is no obscene fortune to be made there, but also more importantly, B, you can't engage in eugenics, and you can't exterminate masses of people with the slow kill that you can if you're, you know, issuing them all of these pharmaceuticals. So I wonder how far stories like this will go, and I wouldn't put it past folks like SEC Commissioner Greg Sankey to say, you know what, when we get back to hosting SEC championship games, we need to have it be inclusive and welcoming to all. So you need to have your immunity passport or your vaccine certificate. And in addition to that, the event should be inclusive to all. And so, you know, if you are a participant who, or you are a would-be participant who wants to play in a football game, college football game, but you're in a wheelchair, or, you know, why can't kids with autism play? Why can't the girls play? Why can't people in wheelchairs play? Maybe crutches, maybe, you know, we'll turn SEC sports into the Special Olympics because that's inclusive. Is that too far? Is that going to do people understand what I'm talking about? I mean, suddenly you have the what we're witnessing is the breakdown of everything. It's the disintegration, the annihilation of everything in an effort or as a precursor to rebuild everything. And it's not good. You know, to destroy all structure, all societal structure in the fabric of society will result in chaos. The anarchists will get what they want ultimately if this push continues, and if good people stand back and do nothing. And the problem is good people are generally inclined. It's not, I don't think, you know, I wouldn't say that I know more or better than Thomas Jefferson. I certainly do not. I would never say that. Never think that. But when he writes in the Declaration of Independence that people are more accustomed to suffering under, you know, the forms that they've grown accustomed to than to right themselves and their government. I think there's a correlation to George Bernard Shaw's Man and Superman, when Shaw is talking about how the reasonable man comports himself to society, the unreasonable man changes it to his own desires, and therefore Shaw concludes that the future therefore belongs to the unreasonable man. I think that's what we've been seeing ever since he and his buddies got together in the Fabian Society and decided to sort of push on that bent, especially since they had considerable resources to do so. You know, since the world's fortunes were being consolidated at that point in accordance with whichever version of Cecil Rhodes' last will and testament it was that outlined that concept of wealth agglomeration, so to speak. So I think that's kind of what we're seeing, and it's not that people don't aren't outraged and offended and things like that, but most decent people are opposed to trying to or seeking to impose their will on others. They know, though, you know, decent people know that's inherently wrong, and so they don't seek to do it. And in the meantime, these disturbed and deranged individuals become the pawn of power brokers in the fashion that George Bernard Shaw wrote. You have all of these insane people, many of them paid, unfortunately, to disrupt America and to wreak havoc. And ultimately, I think that they'll get what the natural outcoming of that is, or the natural outworking or the natural outcome of that is. And ultimately, I think they'll regret it. I think that Yuri Bezmenov's statement about they won't wake up, they won't see it, they won't come to their senses until they get a swift kick in their fat bottom will play out. And I think we're already sort of seeing that. I think I am. And it's tragically unfortunate. I think most of the rest of us don't really, for one, it's difficult to organize people together to any kind of legitimate opposition to this tyranny that's being inflicted upon the American people. And in addition to that, I think that most people don't really understand the sobriety of the moment and the urgency. I mean, everything is being destroyed in America. It's been ongoing primarily. I mean, it's been ongoing for decades now, obviously. But it's been ratcheted up in successive years and successive administrations, if you will. You know, the Obama administration, there was a great deal of it. But it's entirely overwhelming to see, you know, and to listen to the pokes and the attacks and the sly, subtle, indirect assaults on decent, you know, basically American decency. Watching Van Jones and Don Lemon talk, unendurable as far as I'm concerned. Anyway, we'll get into some specifics when we come back. Stick around right after this break.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now, but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
It's the good life, full of fun, seems to be the ideal. Yes, the good life lets you hide all the sadness you feel. You won't really fall in love, 'cause you can't take the chance. So be honest with yourself, don't try to fake romance. It's the good life to be free and explore the unknown. Like the heartaches when you learn you must face them alone. Please remember I still want you, and in case you wonder why, well, just wake up, kiss that good life goodbye.
I realize I probably sound like a rambling, babbling idiot, but I think hopefully somewhere in there you can identify with what I'm saying. You know, seeing these sly, subtle little swipes that people like Don Lemon and Van Jones make at decency and righteousness and justice. And then when people are rightfully outraged because there isn't a sustained, concerted, emphatic, resolute pushback to it all, which I think we lost with the World War II generation. I think there's something about that generation being the last generation that was raised before pop culture went mainstream, the cultural Marxist Frankfurt School went mainstream and started the long march through the institutions before the CIA was institutionalized through the National Security Act of 1947, and these kinds of things. Before those forces were at work, the World War II generation was born and raised, and they just had a steadfast resoluteness that there was a certain something that they had that subsequent generations seem to have been losing more and more to increasing degrees. And now we're more susceptible and prone to change, even thinking that it's a good thing. But again, as Santayana reminds us, it's not just that those who don't or can't remember or forget the past are condemned to repeat it. He said progress, far from consisting in change, depends on retentiveness. And what are we able to retain these days, as we see everything around us being remade in the name of political correctness? Pretty soon we'll be left with nothing. We'll be left with, you know, five words, but that's too many. Four of those are definitely racist because, you know, why do we need so many words? And so we're being whittled down in a variety of fashions, including that kind of Orwellian linguistic minimalism. And it's not good. It's a very diabolical thing. So any sort of outrage that's not concerted, resolute, steadfast, and ongoing is met with this, the same kind of feigned opposition that attacks decency and righteousness. And then when someone gets upset and says, okay, that's enough, this is enough, knock it off, then they say, kind of like in I'm reminded of, I believe it's the book of Isaiah, talks about the folks that go, aha, aha, I see him, look, he got upset. You say, that's enough, back off. And they act like you've done something horrible. How dare you get upset that, you know, we haven't done anything. What have we done? And so, I mean, it really is kind of it's a very devilish, Faustian kind of battle, you might say, because these folks are very clever. I don't think that they are acting of their own volition. As an aside, I think that they are themselves tools, or, you know, pawns in the game, as William Guy Carr might say. And not acting on their own impetus, but basically pawns in a spiritual battle. And so for whatever that's worth, it's unfortunate. But I want to get into some specifics, and I will do that in this next segment. So stick around.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Do Did you know that you can be tracked and traced when you're online? With identity theft and cybercrimes on the rise, your passwords, your identity, and even your physical location can be revealed to complete strangers. Would you like to surf the internet anonymously and not have to worry about these threats? Well, now you can by visiting patriotinternet.com. For about $2 per month, patriotinternet.com will conceal your IP address and your physical location, allowing you to browse the web, send emails, and instant message anonymously. Patriotinternet.com will bypass filters, block sites, and keyword blocking. You can also bypass logging by your router and your ISP. With patriotinternet.com, there is no software to install and uses 128-bit encryption for your protection. When using wireless hotspots, patriotinternet.com shields your information from identity thieves and is compatible with Windows, Mac, and Linux. Protect your identity and your freedom with anonymous internet access from patriotinternet.com. Visit patriotinternet.com today.
Extend your life with Extendovite, a 7-herb combination made from garlic, cayenne, bilberry, hawthorn, ginkgo biloba, valerian, and milk thistle. Each herb was chosen for their abilities to help improve irregular heartbeats, chest pain, lower cholesterol, as well as normalize blood pressure and clean and strengthen arteries, plus much, much more. Doctors have taken people off of some or all of their pills just because they believe their patients got better while taking Extendovite. Get the dependability of Extendovite. Just see how you feel in 6 months. A 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid is only $69.95 plus shipping and handling. Call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
When you were here before, you couldn't look you in the eye. You're just like an angel. Your skin makes me cry. You flow like a feather in a beautiful world. I wish I was special. You're so very special. But
bottom of the first hour, today's Road Warrior Radio broadcast this Friday, June 19th, 2020, and it's already Friday. My goodness, the week went by very quickly. I don't think that most Americans really apprehend the sobriety of the moment and the lessons of history that we should have retained. Speaking of retentiveness, progress far from consisting in change depends on retentiveness, Santayana reminds us. all of the lessons throughout the 20th century, many of them still sort of within our grasp, so to speak. You know, we have relatives. I have relatives who didn't necessarily impart those lessons, but they were evidence of those lessons. They were tangible evidence. And they bore it on their hearts and countenance and so forth, demeanor. And, you know, we're encouraged to go along with the siren song these days. You hear the siren song in the commercials, everything, don't worry, it's okay. The same people who brought you here, the same people who caused all of this trouble, don't worry, it's all okay, it'll all work out fine. While we're blah, 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 we're in this together and it's okay. And look, people in the commercials are smiling, so it must be okay and it'll all be okay. But it's as psychopathic, in my opinion, as, you know, I just keep seeing that stabbing scene in Saving Private Ryan playing over and over in my head. It's as psychopathic as that scene being played out with those words that we hear on the commercials and the smiles being employed during the stabbing of Adam Goldberg's character in Saving Private Ryan. So that's the way it seems to me. And we shouldn't be listening to the siren's song, because the people who got us into this mess probably don't have our best interests at heart. They are probably operating on another agenda. They've proven to be dishonest. Anybody who wants to hide and shrink away from public view so they can do bad things through frontispieces and political props and pawns, stooges, useful idiots, dupes, and those kinds of things, and would encourage people to misbehave, to be such pawns and so forth, is incredibly diabolical and despicably wicked, as far as I'm concerned. If you have a great idea, then come out front and say, this is our great idea. But what we see happening is people who, you know, like Amitai Etzioni, who give talks, and which YouTube videos only garner maybe a few hundred or a few thousand votes, hiding behind the scenes and saying the awful things they say to invoke a sort of reflexive communitarian policy to constantly remake things bit by bit. It is the effectual outworking of what Richard N. Gardner wrote back in 1974 in The Hard Road to World Order. You know, when he said the old-fashioned frontal assault isn't working. So now, you know, an end run, eroding it piece by piece. That's reflexive communitarian policy. Let's try this. Did that work? No, you know what? We can do it this. Oh, this works much better. Let's do that. And then can we take that and learn and do that over here? Instead of right and wrong, instead of justice, instead of you know, basic common decency. It's the remaking of the world in a very disingenuous sort of fashion and under an entirely specious guise. So let me get to some specifics. Larry sent me this article, Manipulating the Masses, Edward Bernays and Why the System Needs Your Compliance. That's an interesting one. Maybe I'll come back to this. Since we're doing 2 hours now, I'm going to say the phones are open pretty much out of the gates. We'll go back to do that and see how that works. So 800-313-9443. Again, 800-313-9443. Feel free to call in. So this article over at Information Clearinghouse by Max Slavo, June 16th, Manipulating the Masses, Edward Bernays, and Why the System Needs Your Compliance. You're being controlled, you're being manipulated, you're being brainwashed. If you are still stuck believing that your vote counts and choosing sides is moral, quote unquote, in a system set up against you from day one, the propaganda has worked. There's a video included looking at the ideas of Edward Bernays, nephew of Sigmund Freud and pioneering mind behind the field of public relations and modern propaganda, which are synonymous, as we know, from Bernays' book Propaganda in 1928, where he coined or popularized the term public relations as the new nomenclature for modern propaganda. Continuing, particularly his ideas on how group psychology and the illusion of choice can be used to manipulate the masses. And, you know, again, for those unaware of how this works, read Edward Bernays' Propaganda, and the opening paragraph tells you pretty much all you need to know. And it was published almost 100 years ago, 1928. So this is all about dividing and conquering. Divide et impera, I believe, is the Latin, right? Divide and rule. While we argue about which political puppet is less evil than the other, they wreak havoc on us and destroy everything in their path for power, fame, and wealth. If you want to make the best change, reject the system, the entire system, and refuse to vote. The task of any control system, therefore, is to maintain the facade of political choice, and central to this is the right, the people's right to vote, quote-unquote, writes Ben O'Hanlon for Medium. The easiest way to divide people is through political theater. This is going to be a tough pill, tough red pill for people to swallow. But, you know, this is not a new concept, by the way. Whenever we talk about Carol Quigley's quote from Tragedy and Hope, for example, you know, the two political parties is, you know, a concept that only the academic doctrinaire thinks is a great idea. I'm paraphrasing, but, you know, he says what's a better idea is, you know, to have the illusion of two parties, to have one party so that, you know, at any election, any given election, you could throw the rascals out and have folks running things from behind the scenes and not have any significant policy changes from administration to administration. That's the modern conceptualizing of that. And John Adams had a similar statement. He said that, and again, I'm paraphrasing, but, you know, the organizing of our political system into two great parties concerning opposition against one another, he said he considered to be the greatest evil under our Constitution. So this is not a new concept. And it dates back, you know, to the Roman Republic and the Greek city-states. It's not a new concept. So this political theater. Continuing, it literally doesn't matter who you vote for. It would, if your vote actually mattered, it would have already been made illegal. Then the Rothschild maxim: "Let us control the money of a nation, and we care not who makes its laws." Maxim of that, the House of Rothschilds. This isn't an astonishing or groundbreaking statement. On some visceral level, we all understand this. So why then is it so easy to divide people into political groups so a small handful of other people can rule over them? Basically, propaganda. The illusion of choice keeps people stuck believing they are free to decide when it really doesn't matter much anyway. You don't get to vote for the people behind the scenes that make all the decisions anyway, only the puppet whose face will be attached to those decisions. Voting provides a corrupt system with legitimacy, regardless of who you vote for. It implies that you consent to the outcome because you participated, even if you wanted the other guy to win. And again, as I've mentioned, that also induces a form or deepens a form of Stockholm syndrome, where you have an attachment to a political frontispiece, essentially, that not only creates Stockholm syndrome, it creates target fixation and all kinds of other things. Speaking of control and manipulation, psychological control and manipulation. The use of dividing people into political parties is not new, but the desire to break free from them and the ruling class in general is. And this quote from John W. Whitehead's recent article: "There is something being concocted in the dens of power far beyond the public eye, and it doesn't bode well for the future of this country. Anytime you have an entire nation so mesmerized by political theater and public spectacle that they are oblivious to all else, you better beware." Exactly. And that also is a great article by John W. Whitehead titled, "This is Not a Revolution. It is a Blueprint for Locking Down the Nation," published back on June 3rd, 2020. So, continuing a little bit further, voting is nothing more than an illusion of choice. It certainly is in this incarnation of it. I don't believe that it, you know, we could talk about specifics and nuances and things, but you know what we have now with the administrative fourth branch basically capturing all three duly constituted branches, with the, you know, Philip Drew administrators, with, you know, national security advisors and councils and committees, which, by the way, is the translation of the term Soviet. As I've talked about before, Soviet translates to councils or committees, which is terrifying. You mean technocratic councils and committees that run everything? Is that what we have in America? Is the American Soviet gulag? Continuing, anytime you have an entire nation so mesmerized by the political theater and public spectacle that they are oblivious to all else, you'd better beware. Voting is nothing more in this current incarnation, I would add, then, an illusion of choice. It's akin to a slave putting a piece of paper in a box that asks the master to be free. It doesn't work that way. Figure out the difference between right and wrong. And one of the first things that happen is a refusal to vote for the lesser of two evils, which is still evil, by the way. Because any master who thinks they own anyone else is evil. And all politicians think they own you to some degree. Then this image is included. I don't vote not because it's pointless or the system is rigged or I just don't care, but because voting is quite literally the act of trying to select a master for my neighbors. And I don't have that right. None of us do. Again, there are nuances we could discuss, but for the sake of brevity, I'll continue. Besides, how do you know who won? The mainstream media tells you, right? And they're so honest, just and trustworthy, and would never do what they are told. Oh wait, yeah, it's that insane. So at that point, I would interject that, you know, we've talked many times. It's astonishing to see the parlor trick happen during every major, you know, say national election cycle. And to see how educated people are unable to see it. Every time I mention this, I always say the late, great Jack Otto is the only other person I've ever heard talk about. He talked about the Voter News Service, the VNS, which was the name of the organization at the time. It's been rebranded to the National Election Pool. And the Wikipedia entry used to contain all kinds of damning information, but every time I've mentioned it, I noticed that it gets whittled down further and further to the point that, well, in Orwellian linguistic minimalism fashion, it's virtually non-existent now, the National Election Pool. And it's the same organization, in essence, that was instrumental in the voting fraud of the late 1960s that Dick Gregory talked about. Dick Gregory's running for president. Oh my goodness, he's doing great in New York State. Oh wait, suddenly he's not. What happened there? He used to talk about that every once in a while. But this is the organization that boasts itself, you know, not calling every national election accurately since the new system was put in place nearly 20 years ago. And so they predict winners somehow by exit poll data. No one you know has ever seen an exit poll, and somehow, let alone been polled in one. And somehow they're accurately calling these races 100% of the time, and they're telling you who you voted for through your own local news channels. Is there something perhaps fishy about the Instagram?
The Republic Broadcasting Network late-night premiere show Red Pill Hardcore is hosted by activists that want to hear from you, the listeners, so that you can get involved in the activism. Please call in at 800-313-9443 at 10 p.m. to enter the discussion. To book yourself as a guest, call our studio at 202-657-5715 or contact RBN staff. Remember, keep it real and take the red pill.
Is the Second Amendment your line in the sand? Is the United States Constitution important to you? Are you worried about gun confiscation? You need to join us for free at gunconfiscation.com. At gunconfiscation.com, you will meet like-minded patriots, get the latest Second Amendment news, and find anything you need to prepare for gun confiscation. Visit gunconfiscation.com today. That's gunconfiscation.com. Which side are you on?
Extend your life with Extendovite, a 7-herb combination made from garlic, cayenne, bilberry, hawthorn, ginkgo biloba, valerian, and milk thistle. Each herb was chosen for their abilities to help improve irregular heartbeats, chest pain, lower cholesterol, as well as normalize blood pressure and clean and strengthen arteries, plus much, much more. Doctors have taken people off of some or all of their pills just because they believe their patients got better while taking Extendovite. Get the dependability of Extendovite. Just see how you feel in 6 months. A 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid is only $69.95 plus shipping and handling. Call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
This is too good to be true, except this time it is real. 100%. No joke. How about a $25,000 membership to Front Sight Firearms Training Facility as a thank you bonus for a one-time donation to RBN of only $500? It is a Commander Lifetime membership with no yearly fees or dues. The training is free for the rest of your life, with over 50 different classes. Then leave it to your designated beneficiary. You provide the approved firearm, holster, ammo, eye, and ear protection. Many features and bonuses are included, more than you would ever expect or believe. This is the ultimate graduation present, wedding gift, etc., etc. See the details. Go to RBN's webpage and frontsight.com to make it happen. You will hear this offer only on this radio network. Help keep RBN alive. Tell 5.
Welcome back. Final segment of the first hour. Let me finish this article because there's something else I want to get to. kind of listener mail type stuff. So to conclude the article, speaking of Goethe and the Faustian battle that is being waged, the quote, "None are more hopelessly enslaved than those who falsely believe they are free," is included. I usually think of Harriet Tubman, "I freed thousands of slaves. I could have freed thousands more if they'd known they were slaves," which is disputed because we have to erase, you know, all of that history too. Wow, that would be too provocative and too ironic. We would have to maybe think about that. If we actually could apprehend the profound nature of that statement. But concluding in this article, if you are being honest with yourself, you would surely know by now that you don't require a ruler, a master, or an authoritarian to make decisions for you. I think of Edward Abbey. How did he put it? "Grown men do not need leaders," which reminds me of the World War II generation. It's time we begin to own ourselves and reject the power-hungry politicians' will to rule over us all. People seem to be getting increasingly angry at those who are trying to wake them up and free them from the mental chains they've put on themselves. I see, and you know, we're encouraged to do that. No, it's okay. Let's get used to the new normal. And again, speaking of inclusive and welcoming, there is this ongoing effort to normalize the arrested, retarded, the stunted, arrested, retarded development of folks, I would say men in particular, and to make it seem normal that, you know, if you being a man is somehow some kind of a weird, anomalous sort of thing, is the projection that's being cast on people. And being some kind of an aberration is normal. And again, that makes me think of that stabbing scene in Saving Private Ryan. It's perfectly normal to be stunted, arrested, you know, retarded in your development. And that's what's happening. And by the way, while we're at it, what kind of a world is it? If we put helmets on everyone and everything is bubble wrapped and there's no excitement, there's no danger or adventure or possibility for anything, what kind of world is that? And if we've whittled away every expression of everything ever throughout history, and all we're left with, you know, colors, you know, the expression of colors now, something you can't accept, offensive to something, what are we left with? It seems to me we're left with how long that. I don't know. That's just my second hour.
What would you say if I told you we have a new tool that will increase production and lower maintenance costs for your meat processing company, and it would pay for itself in just 6 weeks?
When pigs fly!
The new EaseOff Model EZ4 replaces old spring-style carcass droppers and is faster, safer, and more reliable. The EaseOff lowers or lifts 1,000 pounds to or from your rail automatically using our remote control.
Sounds expensive! Can I afford it?
Can you afford not to try the EaseOff? It installs fast with just 3 bolts in place of your current dropper. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue and injuries, speed up your line, eliminate downtime, and increase profit.
How can I order my EaseOff?
Go to EaseOff.com, EazeOff.com, and hurry, because we are offering $200 off on the new EZ4 for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too. EaseOff LLC, Summersville, Missouri, 417-932-6419.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.